Blog Talk Radio.
This is breaking news. Five security officers die in a 72-hour period this weekend as violence against the private officer continues to rise, deaths continue to climb. This week, two security officers murdered over the weekend, including a security officer who worked for G4S at the St. Louis Transit Center. He was killed after asking a person to leave the track area, the man pulling a gun and killing him without further words or confrontation. Another security officer is killed, murdered. Police are still looking for him in Texas. They don't know what happened. Very few details coming from there. Another security officer was run down by a vehicle that was trying to back out of a subdivision. This appears to be an accident. It occurred in Henderson, Nevada. Authorities are also reporting two security officers have died of the coronavirus, including an LAPD security service officer and a security officer at a hospital. The total security officer deaths for the month of January is over 20. Last year, we saw an just unbelievable number of security officers that died from COVID, murders, and assaults. This is breaking news for this week, February 1, 2021. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio on this day of February 2021 from snowy, Atlantic Coast. We've got snow from Chicago to the East Coast. Much of our area between North Carolina and Virginia seeing quite the storm over the last 24 hours. In some places, as much as a foot of snow blew into the area, then followed by some freezing rain and sleet in some of those areas, making it a treacherous drive early this morning. I hope that if you have to be out there in this area, that you have taken precautions and that you are driving slow and safe. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McGann, founder, CEO of Private Officer International, Armor College, and a number of other businesses. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about our brand new think tank, along with Command College and a number of other upcoming events and opportunities for you to get involved. Remember, if you're not already a member of Private Officer International, you really do need to be. Go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Right now, you can sign up for a lifetime membership for just $99. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our free breaking news alerts, our newsletters, and our upcoming training schedule. Opportunities for you to take both free and very inexpensive training online and in person. We got a lot of breaking news coming in as well. We are in the midst of doing our annual study. This is actually something that we do regularly, but we call it the annual study. It's a very in-depth study about where security officers are injured, what cities and states have the highest injury and death rates for private security law enforcement, private law enforcement, and we'll be releasing that here in a few days, but we're going to cover that a little bit today. We're going to talk about it and also talk about some other things that's happening in the news, quite disturbing, as you may or may not know. This has been this whole month of January. Now we're in February, but January has been another month that has seen a lot of security officer injuries and deaths, both from COVID and other injuries sustained. We just had a security officer in the last few days that was trying to help someone, and that vehicle ran over them and killed them. So we're going to talk about that. And a very controversial subject today. We're talking about fit for the job. In part two, we were talking about fitness and physical aspects of a person. We talked last week about the four different areas that really compose a person's overall wellness and being. And today we're going to follow up in the physical aspect, and that includes age limitations. We've heard this topic before. Weight really has nothing to do with age. A lot of times people retire, they're 70, 75, 80, and even older, and they just want a few extra bucks and something to do, and so they just figure security is the industry to get into. But as we know, security has changed over the years, and so it begs the question, should we cap the age of security officers? Certainly you cannot be a police officer at 75, although we have recently done a couple of stories of some police officers who are still on the job in their early 70s. We just recently did a job about a paramedic who is well into his 80s, and he's still working as a volunteer, not as a paid member, but still some folks in their 70s and even early 80s are still very lively and can get around. But should we look at age caps in this industry? When we talk about the overall physical makeup of a person and how things slow down as you get old, this might be something that we really do have to address. But we'll talk about that coming up in the segment in just a few minutes. Plenty of things that we do have to cover, and we're looking forward to you getting involved in all of these things that we have going on here at Private Officer International. We just announced last week we have 40 courses online now that you can participate in for, I would say, 80% off probably of the normal tuition. We have some free courses as well. We have a brand new program that we're starting up where we're helping folks who have to have different certifications to stay certified to keep their job. So we are discounting that training on site as well. If you need regulatory training in South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Virginia, D.C., New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and beyond, contact Help Desk at Armour, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. We can help you both online as well as in person. Have you looked at what is happening in our country? It continues to happen. We have continual riots, not protests, riots, where people are being injured, property is being destroyed. Police are not moving in and not making arrests and not stopping the riots for fear of repercussions, both politically as well as from their own department. What is going on in this country? We're seeing more and more protesters, rioters, really taking over malls, shopping centers, events, communities, neighborhoods, people moving in. I just read a story Friday about how the U.S. parks, the U.S. forestry, the rangers are continuously having to knock down temporary buildings and clean up waste being left behind by people going into these areas and setting up camp as they protest nearby in nearby cities and towns and just wreaking havoc. It's just outrageous that law enforcement, our politicians, government elect allows this to happen and thinks, oh, this is just normal. Nothing out of the ordinary. There's just a couple of people. They're just hanging out and they're expressing their freedom of speech. And yet when you want to express your freedom of speech on social media or elsewhere, if it's not politically correct, if it doesn't align with the current agenda and environment that we are in, then guess what happens? You get locked out of your social media. You get thrown off your own website. Big tech has the right to just squash you like a bug. What kind of world, what kind of country has this become? Much more to talk about when we come back on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
In a tree stand and a support broke. He wasn't wearing a safety harness. I can't help Kyle, but I can help you. Please wear a safety harness. Please take the free hunter safety course and please be careful.
In Henderson, Nevada, a security officer is deceased following a tragic vehicle accident on Friday. It happened off from Horizon Ridge Parkway just about noontime, a little after. Police said that a box truck was backing out of a driveway in a subdivision called the Roma Hills community. A security officer was trying to direct and assist that driver trying to back out into the street. Now, the truck somehow ran over the 60-year-old security officer and killed him. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Right now, police are saying it appears just to be an accident. They say that impairment was not a factor, so that tells me that they probably conducted a DUI test, a field sobriety test on the driver, maybe even gave him a portable breathalyzer. They do, however, say that the investigation is still underway. That is really just routine in nature. But it is tragic that something like this would happen with a person who was just trying to help somebody else. A security officer. And last year, we saw 3 security officers killed in industrial sites, motor vehicle accidents similar to this, directing vehicles around big 18-wheelers and industrial equipment, and all of them being struck, and 2 of those incidents being ran over and killed. And that's what happened here in Nevada. The driver of the box truck ran over the security officer. So that vehicle went, it knocked over the security officer, and the truck kept on backing up and killed him. Who's at fault? Is it the driver? Is it the security officer? Was he not wearing the proper PPE? You got to have traffic, high visibility vest on. You got to be seen if the driver can't see you. And I'm not trying to victim blame anybody. This is tragic all the way around. But now this is going to be the 4th time in less than a year that a security officer has been killed in the same method. I really have to wonder if security officers should even be involved in traffic direction or assisting large vehicles, heavy equipment, if they're all alone and there's no communications and no one has the proper training, because when you are directing vehicles, you are supposed to have under the law a certain type of training, especially if you're out flagging or conducting traffic control in any sense. So we're gonna keep an eye on this, but it is a very tragic situation. Body Armor USA, you know, we've got exactly what it takes to protect you. We have everything. We have the best body armor. We have protective clothing. We have stab-resistant vest. We have gloves, protective gloves. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Check us out today online at Body Armor USA. But more than that, just contact Body Armor. Give them a call today. See what they can do for you. I know our friends over there have the expertise. They have the right equipment. They have everything that's necessary to protect you. Body Armor USA. You can even give them a call today. Area code 516-817-1666. Area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. We announced this past week that Private Officer International, which has considered in times past forming some type of think tank to encompass the many areas that we are already have been doing for quite some time, and that includes studies, it includes research, working with regulatory agencies, making specific recommendations. And after talking to a friend of ours in California, he just kind of prodded us along a little bit further to form such a think tank. We announced on the 26th of last month that the National Public Safety and Security Institute, a nonprofit think tank, has been launched. And the goal here is to create policies, training guidelines, best practices, working with folks that we're already working with, regulatory agencies, to ensure compliance and educational standards, to help make recommendations on all areas of public safety and private security services. Now, we are actively going to be involved in many things that we've already have done and are continuously doing, and that includes education, policies, best practices, technology, and advocacy. The NPSSI will bring security company owners, campus law enforcement, security loss prevention agents, and other frontline personnel from all areas of security, safety, and law enforcement, mid-level management, and executive staff to the table. And we're going to collaborate as a unit together on these specific five areas. In fact, we've already begun two areas that we want to concentrate on, and this will be our main focus right out the gate. And those areas include making the workplace safer for both private security, private police, loss prevention, as well as public safety, and reducing employee injuries and deaths, whether that be by equipment, better gear, or radio communication. There's so many different parts, moving parts to this that is lacking. We are specifically looking at homicides of security personnel, almost 100 security officers killed in less than 24, 100 security officer murders, homicides, killed by the hands of others in less than 2 years. We are looking at how to prevent this. I have said, and I will continue to say, even as a security company owner, that we are responsible for putting people in harm's way. We are the ones who are not doing our due diligence, not providing the right equipment, communications, or hiring the right people for that job. It really still makes me sick. A friend of mine used to say, it sticks in my craw. I don't know what that means. I asked him one time, and he said, well, I remember my grandpa used to say it, and I assumed he meant up his butt. I don't know. I don't know. But it really sickens me to see a security officer murdered who should not have been there to begin with. And one of the recent cases last year in Mississippi, still unsolved, has really got me mad at the industry and at certain security companies. This elderly 70-something year old security officer, unarmed, was sitting in his vehicle at an apartment complex, and they still do not know why he was shot multiple times while sitting behind the wheel of his vehicle just watching over an apartment complex. And this wasn't even in a major city. It was right outside of Jackson, Mississippi, but a smaller community. They don't know. Did he say something previously to someone? Did he, you know, make a comment? Did he have some type of interaction with someone that made them angry somewhere along the way? Was this a personal vendetta that someone had? We don't know. Here's what we know. He was unarmed. He didn't have a two-way radio. He was working alone. He was in a crime area that it wasn't high, but there had been crime in that apartment complex, so obviously there was a situation. We're looking at all avenues to prevent these homicides. Another area of this, making the workplace safer, will include preventing the ever-increasing number of assaults and injuries to security people. Right now, we have a study going on internally, working with several other organizations on the injuries I stated earlier before we went to break, injuries and deaths and the leading cities and states. And they all continue to be the same, by the way. Every time that we look at these numbers, the same cities, the same states show up, the same areas with the highest concentration of security. But there are some outliers this time, Mississippi being one of those, where this security officer that I'm talking about was killed. Sudden spike, large spike in homicides and injuries. Arkansas, another one. But we'll give you that information coming up here in the next few months. But we are looking at making the place, the workplace, safer. I know security contract companies, even those who are members of Private Officer International, certain people, and maybe other quasi-professional organizations may get upset with not only the launching of the think tank, but the work that we're doing, putting this report together currently, but so be it. There are several board member, trustee member, positions where you can apply, email Kyle T. Green, that's with an E at the end, at privateofficer.com if you're interested. We have a number of folks that we have already talked to that we hope will come on board. This is not only a necessary thing, an exciting thing for me and for anyone who might be interested in really making our security industry and private police and loss prevention better. And if you want to make a difference, contact us, Kyle T. Green, with an E at the end, at privateofficer.com. We have a lot to talk about and a lot of things that we want to share out of the news. Before I go to the next break, let me just say this. I get frustrated when people say, it is what it is. We can't do anything. We can't change anything. Yes, you can. And we, as an organization at Private Officer, have given you plenty of opportunity to make a difference, to even own your own business, to stop making minimum wage and make some real money. We have a lot of different, we've been around for 17 plus years. We have a lot of different avenues to help not only members, but non-members. Contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives, that then 3-6 months later, they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Ross.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Down Reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down, just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment, and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. Private Officer Breaking News.blogspot.com. That is where you're going to find our daily news blog, issued every day without delay, with all the important news happening that day for private security, public safety. It's free. You can have it downloaded to your phone. You can take it with you. Private Officer Breaking News.blogspot.com. You can also listen to our radio shows anywhere you download your podcast or music, and that includes on the iHeartRadio network or any place. We're there. Download, listen while you drive, listen while you work, if they allow that, of course. Only if they allow that. Listen to it on your break, on your lunch hour. Our radio shows are packed with information, breaking news, and training that won't cost you not a dime, not a dime. In today's breaking news, a death investigation, Ocean Casino Resort in Atlantic City security notified and responded to a person who apparently had, they thought, fallen off from the casino roof, but actually the 29-year-old woman was a victim of suicide, the second person in a matter of a few months. Security on scene attempted to assist, and tragically, that person died on the scene. Coming out of Atlanta, Georgia, a Family Dollar employee is being sought right now after he pulled a gun on a customer in a heated dispute over not wearing a mask. The Family Dollar store in Southwest Atlanta has had a challenging time, but the employee went too far, according to police and spectators. Police have reviewed the video, but they have not made any arrest. Have you seen this in the news? Rod Stewart. Yep, that Rod Stewart and his son have reached a plea agreement for assaulting a security officer earlier last year in southern Florida. While at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida, on New Year's Day last year, both the singer and his son assaulted a security officer during a disturbance. Security officer Jesse Dixon told police that when he informed Stewart and his family about the disturbance, that they assaulted him. Yep. Unfortunately, the news release does not say exactly what the penalty is going to be. It's a couple of dollars or, you know, just a slap on the hand, which more than likely it is. Coming out of Hayward, California, another school has booted, for lack of better words, their police department. Hayward Unified Schools have decided that they no longer want police presence because they intimidate their students on campus. So trustees voted unanimously last Wednesday to eliminate the SRO school police program and to redivert that $479,000 elsewhere. Now, one thing that kind of caught me, the head trustee said it's not a matter of money. We can afford it. In fact, if they raised it up, we can still afford it. But after talking to staff and students over a long period of time, we assessed that they just feel frightened. They don't feel safe with police on the premises because more minorities are arrested, harassed, so on and so forth. And unfortunately, I could go into a long sermon as to why these type of arrests continue, but I won't. I don't have time to. But without police or armed security on school campuses these days, it's not safe. I don't really see how they could say that it was. We just saw in the last couple of weeks that at least two schools that had booted their campus police SROs out last year have brought them back because violence went up. A security officer in San Antonio was attacked by three suspects in the parking lot of a nightclub, and they attempted to get his firearm. They beat him up, but as they were escaping, the security officer was able to fire off a couple of rounds. No one was injured other than the security officer, as far as they know. Suspects are still loose. And unfortunately, nightclubs, bars, strip clubs, adult clubs, whatever you want to call them, happens to be one of the leading locations of assault on security. And use of force involvement, both by security and against security, and that will be, of course, brought out in the report that we're doing. Security officer did help in Little Rock, Arkansas, did help police to capture three suspects that had broken in to a event hall where a gun show was being held. Police arrested Vasante Canto, 22, Caleb Barnett, 23, and Matthew Thomas, 22. 450 rounds of ammo, guns, 18 guns were stolen. Police say the security officer noticed the door open, heard something, notified police. All three remain in custody. Again, another example of physical security versus video. Video security is, electronic security is very good, but it just doesn't do what a physical presence will do. And we've seen too many times that cameras and robots, although they do play a certain percentage of overall security, they leave a big hole in the security system. Sadly, in Texas, at the Texas A&M University, two students died on campus within hours in separate incidents. Police hinted that they may be suicide or drug-related. Brandon Prowoski, 23, a cadet also in the Texas Maritime Academy, and Wesley Jerome Malerny, 18, a marine biology student, both dead, under investigation. A lot of resources, including the U.S. Coast Guard, was involved in searches. Police had drones and dogs involved. So we are also going to keep an eye on this as well. Coming out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, authorities there say that the delivery of the COVID virus vaccine is overlooking some very important frontline personnel, private security. Authorities say that in phase one, that dozens of security officers, maybe hundreds of security officers, were overlooked. They're looking into it to see how to correct that. I can tell you from my own experience in my area that security officers are not allowed to be vaccinated. They're not considered frontline personnel. Right now, in our areas and in the nearby states of North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, 75 and older, or first responder being law enforcement, EMS, or the fire service, are the ones receiving that priority vaccination at this time. Well, in Champaign County, Illinois, the University of Illinois Police Party Patrol, these are student patrol officers who help campus police to respond to noise events and parties, both on and off campus, and they kind of try to settle students down so that they don't get arrested or cited for nuisance violations, endangering public health, or reckless conduct. Campus police say that during the 2020 semester, fall semester, they issued 30 tickets to 18 people for party-related incidents. Yeah, I've seen party patrol, student patrols active in other campuses. Sometimes it works and sometimes not so much. Columbia, Maryland, two suspects arrested and charged with armed robbery and assault on a security officer working at a Giant grocery store. That's a chain in the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area. Two people arrested during what started to be a shoplifting, but they pulled a knife. The security officer was not seriously injured, but police did catch up to Nicole Renee McConnell, as well as Michael Rory, and both of them have been charged with armed robbery, robbery, assault, and theft. Were we not just moments ago talking about the increase of violence, assault, death to private security officers? We can show you examples of this every day. 3,500 plus news sites, emails, alerts, press releases. It's something that we really need to get a handle on. FBI and the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police are investigating an armored truck robbery. This occurred in broad daylight, of course. Unusual, but it was in the 2300 block of Georgia Avenue Northwest, about 11 a.m. All of a sudden, men with guns appeared. They robbed the armored truck, discharged the firearm. They attempted to steal one of the armed security officer's gun. They did remove it from the holster. It went off also. They fled. No suspects are in custody. Again, history has shown that armored truck robberies run in spurts. Some years we have hundreds, others 40 or 50. This past 12, 13 months, we're seeing an increase of armored car robberies for sure. A spectacular, heroic shooting this past week. Maybe you've seen it on media, social media, TV, the news. Phoenix, Arizona police called after the mother of a small child reported that her ex-boyfriend had just chilled from a hotel. He was shooting his gun in the middle of a road. He was threatening to kill his son. Police arrived. Every angle from the time he took the child to the time of his death was captured on multiple cameras of businesses, police dash cams and body cameras and security videos. It shows that police had great restraint because that man held the baby in his arms. But when he pointed the gun to the baby's head, a police officer with an AR-15 took him out. They took him out. And he won't be a threat to anybody else. He died at the hospital. It was a unfortunate situation. Police heroic in every way. You want to defund police? Look at this video and tell me with a straight face that police are not valuable, not a necessary service. I beg to differ. TSA released this week their top 10 airports where firearms were confiscated. It's kind of, I don't want to say surprising, but the number of guns discovered nationwide, 3,257 firearms confiscated from passengers in or on them were in their carry-on bags. These weren't in luggage going through. No, these were carry-on bags or on the person. Now, flights were down. The number of passengers severely down because of the pandemic, and yet over 3,000 guns confiscated. What's wrong with people? In 2019, TSA stopped 4,432 firearms, of which 87% were loaded. All right, so let's get to the important stuff. In 2020, TSA said Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta Airport, the largest airport in the U.S. with the most passengers seen year after year for the last six or seven, they were able to get 220 guns out of the hands of passengers. Dallas-Fort Worth, DFW, came in number two, 176 guns. Houston, number three, 126 guns. Phoenix, Sky Harbor, 124 guns. Denver International, 104 guns. Nashville International, 94 guns. Fort Lauderdale, 87 guns. Orlando International, 79 guns. Las Vegas, 72 guns, and Salt Lake City, 71. You know who's not here that really surprises me? Charlotte. Charlotte Mecklenburg Airport in Charlotte, North Carolina. Every week, every three or four days, they've got a gun recovery. They are fast becoming in the top five international airports in the U.S. for passengers. They are always building. The building right now, huge Metroplex area. Charlotte is becoming almost 3 million in the metro area. I'm surprised they did not make that list. Maybe next time. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Last week, we began a 4-part series. Yeah, I know it was 3 parts. I just wanted to see if you're listening. We began a 3-part series talking about the physical, mental well-being. We talked last week about the mental aspects. There are 4 general areas of an individual's welfare. And all of them are equally important according to those in the know. I'm not a doctor. I've been a paramedic, EMT, medical provider for many years, but I'm not a doctor. But I do know that we're like a machine. We have multiple complex systems. We talked last week about mental health and how stress and emotions and our home life, PTSD, suicide, all of that plays a very strong part to our well-being. But another area that really is concerning is the physical aspect, an individual. It is very difficult for a person wearing a uniform and heavy equipment and running and expected to be physically fit, it's very difficult for them to respond effectively if they are extremely overweight, a smoker, a user of alcohol or drugs, even prescription type, a heavy user, is very difficult. Difficult to respond adequately to incidents or situations, events, if you are a smoker, if you haven't had good rest. There are many different makeups, many different parts to the equation of good physical condition. I have seen people who were overweight, but they could run and they could fight and they could hold their own, but they also weren't smokers, drank alcohol, slept just a few hours a night. They may have been a little overweight, but they took good care of their body otherwise. There are many folks, and this has been said for as long as I can remember, there are many people who just are normally physically a little bigger. And we're not talking about hundreds of pounds overweight. We're talking about, you know, some used to call them big bone, but that was a joke. But there are people that just have body mass. And it doesn't always have to be muscle, but they are in good physical condition. But if you put somebody who is extremely overweight, obese even, together with other aspects of being in poor health, like smoking or not getting sleep or not eating the right thing or substance abuse, whether that be alcohol or drugs, or taking other prescribed drugs in excess. It causes the person to be out of kilter. Their whole body system is just not working properly. And although they don't want to admit it, they know about it, they can feel it, they just have to keep on grinding it out because they got to pay the bills. They got to work that overtime. They got to, you know, maybe they're taking a course online or at school, and they've got to be a father, a parent, a mother. They've got so many different aspects to their life. They got to allow something to go to the wayside, and oftentimes it's the physical aspect of the person. Do we really have to be in the gym every day? Do we really have to work out and lift weights and get 100% body mass muscle? No, we don't. But in order to be in better condition, we do have to watch what we eat. I'm a big one for saying that. I just don't do it. more so in the last couple of years, but it's hard when you're working many hours and have many other things happening, wear many hats, to not go through the drive-thru at the fast food place. Yeah, cheap, tasty, not so much, but it fills the void, and many people do it. Unfortunately, we need to eat a little better. There are ways of doing that. I'm not here today to give you all of those ins and outs of how to pack a better lunch or, you know, something that's not going to pack on the pounds, but you know, you've seen the advertisements, you've heard all of the news, all of the studies, you know. It is important that we reduce certain bad habits, including smoking. My parents smoked, they were chain smokers. And growing up, I said, no, not for me, never ever. When company would come over and everyone joined around the kitchen table and everybody lit up, I ran to the bedroom, closed the door, and opened the window. Never been a smoker, never will be a smoker. Hate it. But when you are a smoker, it really does mess up your physical condition and your system even worse. We know that food clogs the arteries. Well, smoking also causes all sorts of breathing ailments and conditions and illnesses. When we have weight, when we have bad habits of smoking, when we're not getting enough sleep, when we're taking in excess alcohol, drinking alcohol, or taking prescription narcotics that maybe we're taking too many of, when we have all of these things coming together, it becomes difficult for us to really do our job in the ultimate fashion. And that means oftentimes unable to physically protect ourselves if we have to go hands-on, if we have to go physical combat, if we have to defend ourselves against an attacker. There are a couple of quick and easy and resolute things that we can do that will quickly change our physical being and make it better. And we don't have to do a whole lot. Did you know that just walking 10 minutes a day? I already do that on the job, man. You haven't seen the property I got to walk. I got to do these rounds every 2 hours. I got to walk up these stairs. That's great. Physical exercise is important. But if you're not doing that every day, 10 minutes a day can help lower the risk of high blood pressure. It can help prevent heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. It can also strengthen your bones and your muscles while burning calories. And you know what else? I've never been a big walker, although years ago when I lived in Nashville, there was a park right behind my house, and I got into the mode of walking every day, even when I was tired, and it really did uplift my spirit. I was in a better mood. You hear other people say it. Well, it's true. If you can just walk 10 minutes a day, every day, maybe even outside of work, walk slowly, walk for a few minutes to warm up, get the blood flow going, and then walk a little bit more briskly for a few minutes to get your heart pumping. Then you walk slowly again, call the cool down, and avoid those uneven ground, the cracks and the crumbling sidewalks. Try to find a nice smooth path or a sidewalk. Go to a park and do your walk, 10 minutes. The ultimate goal here is to be able to reach increased amount of walking per day. If you're comfortable at walking, then gradually increase your walking time just a little bit more a week, and it will be remarkable the outcome that it provides, really. I can tell you, I can attest to this. The second really important thing to really help your overall health, and again, this is nothing extraordinary. It's not going to take a lot of doing, and that is really just to improve your sleep. What you are doing, when we work shift work, if we work the overnights, and I work both law enforcement and security where our shift would rotate. So 1 month we're on days, 1 month we're on midnights, second shift. When I work security, even as a owner, I may have office duties during the day. In the evening, I may do patrols. I may respond to calls. So I'm trying to catch sleep, in between all of this. Your sleep environment and the activities leading up to your sleep can also keep you from having a good night's sleep. When I work midnights or in the overnight hours in the daytime when I slept, I always had a very dark, cool room. You've heard probably others say the same thing. It really just kind of lowers your metabolism, kind of like a bear going into hibernation, but it puts you into a sleep mode. Many correction facilities, prisons and jails alike, have their thermostats in the jail area, the prison area, set low. Because it slows the metabolism, you're not as active, you want to keep warm, less likely to get into a fight, so they keep it low. Resolve any issues that you have before you go to bed. Don't go to bed with a lot on your mind. Don't go to bed thinking about 45 things you need to do tomorrow. Again, I can't really say this with a straight face because I'm constantly... My mind many nights is still going. I got this to do tomorrow. I got to get up early. I got to go here. Oh, yeah, don't let me forget to do that. But try to relax your mind before you go to bed and resolve any issues that might keep you from going to sleep. Remember, our circadian rhythm, it really is a thing, by the way. The body has a rhythm it gets into. And if you have your room cool and dark, and cold, doesn't even have to be cold, but cool, and you've got your mind relaxed, your body will go into that circadian rhythm almost every time, and you'll have a much easier, and less likely to be awake for a long time, but you'll have an easier way of falling asleep. An hour and a half before bedtime, they recommend, and unfortunately I cannot do this, that you also shut off all of your electronic gadgets, your computers, your televisions, phone, cell phone, and of course limit any alcohol to just after dinner and don't take alcohol before going to sleep because that does not help you fall asleep fast. It actually interrupts your sleep repeatedly and too much alcohol is not going to be good for your body. The same is true about eating food, specific food. You probably heard spicy food, not good for you close to bedtime. Certain type of things that's going to cause acid reflux or heartburn, not good too soon before going to bed. So there are many different things that we can do. And we can talk about increasing fruits and vegetables. We know that that's very good for us. It helps to lower the risk of heart attack and stroke. Has many benefits, vitamins, minerals, and so forth. But another thing that we really need to do, many of us, it would be just a simple thing, and that is to increase the amount of water that you drink. Not caffeinated, not coffee, not alcohol, but water. Even if that's through water-rich foods, such as a soup or a vegetable or a fruit. Older you get, oftentimes many older folks will fall short of the daily requirements of fluid, and that may keep the body actually from getting nutrients to the cells. It helps reduces flushing bacteria from the bladder, and it makes the bowels move less normally if you don't have enough liquid in you. So it is important that if you're one of those who don't like water, and I was one of those in my younger days, I would drink Pepsi. I found out years down the road that water was the key to better health, and I became a fan of cold water. So if you don't have enough water in your system, it's not a good thing. You know, doctors advise that you drink a good amount of liquids. It doesn't have to be water. It could be that soup or vegetable or fruit, but water certainly will help. Another key factor about water that many people don't know, doctors say when you get up in the morning or if you get up in the evening to go to work, whatever, whenever your get-up time is, that if you start off right away with a bottle of cold water, it actually rejuvenates your system and it helps to get things going, flowing. So I do that every day, whether I get up at 4 in the morning or I get up at 6 in the morning. I don't ever get up at 7, 8, 9, or 10. But if you have better health, habits, if you do this regularly, then you're going to feel better on the job, and it's going to help you. It's going to help you, really, to do the job. Remember the four aspects of our welfare: mental, physical, spiritual, and financial. As a security officer, we do have to be on guard. We do have to be prepared to defend ourselves or to help others. And we might even have to just run to help somebody who has just had a heart attack. We don't want to have a heart attack. We want to be able to stay safe while helping others. This is going to conclude this week's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Glad that you have joined us, and we're looking forward to having you right here next time, same place, same time zone, same station. And remember, you can listen 24/7, download us, any place you get your music podcast, download us here. All of our radio programs are still there from day one. And come back next week. Until then, be blessed, be safe. We'll see you back here on the radio.